Hello, and welcome to the 54 Problems podcast. You're never going to believe it, but there is no Andrew Edmonds or Simon Brown in this episode, as we are celebrating women in mini golf. I'll be your host, Vinette Block, hailing from the United States. We'll be talking to some women mini golfers from around the world who each has made a mark in the sport in her own way. We'll hear about the mini golf goings on in our countries, some achievements by these ladies, what more might be done to promote female participation, and some perspectives, stories, and observations from our point of view. I'll get this conversation started with a little bit about me and the state of mini golf here. I'm a massage therapist by trade, living in the Southeast United States. I've been a traveling mini golf tournament player for the past 17 years or so, after taking a 17-year break from the sport. I began playing around the age of 13 in a local junior putting league out of Atlanta, Georgia. Regarding U.S. mini golf, there's lots of exciting things going on here. We have some new tours, notably Pop Stroke on Tiger Woods courses, and the World Putting League, which is trying to get gambling on mini golf events posted on sports betting sites. Also, we have the NPT out west. We have the AMA, who's now tied to the World Adventure Golf Tour. We have the PPA and the USPMGA tours. So lots of choices, much more than any time I can remember here in the United States. Joining me today will be the amazing Ruth Burke from the UK and the Swedish superstar, Annelie Lundell. We'll start with Ruth. Ruth, please tell us a little bit about you and what's going on with mini golf in the UK.
Oh, thanks, Vinette. So I'm Ruth. I'm based in England in the UK. And I started playing mini golf, realizing that it could be a sport or competitive when I lived in Hastings. And I was just playing on the Clambers course. And we saw Tim Davis with a little gaggle of children, and he was showing them how to get a hole in one. And I had my little boy there, Rocky, who was, I think, 7 at the time. And he took us to hole 17 and he said, no, don't hit it straight at the hole. You have to go off this wall. So I stood with the club putter and ball, hit it where he said, and it went in. And I was like, wow, I like this. I didn't get it in too many times after that, especially in competitions. But, I like the fact that you can get a hole in one. And my little boy liked it. And his dad liked it. So it was something we could do as a family. And then we realized there was competitions. He went down the next day and he won the junior championships, which Tim was organizing. And it was the age group 5 to 8. And he won. So that was nice that he could do that. And we just went from there, really. So that must have been 2001.
Tell us more about mini golf in the UK. What does it look like for you? What's going on there?
Well, we have got, I think the thing is there is quite a few new people have joined. After COVID, when I didn't play at all during the COVID, and that was for 2 years that I didn't play. And although there was tournaments, I was worried about traveling and staying over and stuff like that. Not the actual tournament, but the travel put me off. And so coming back last year, the scene has changed a little bit, and I think it's growing. There's different clubs coming up. The standard has just gone really sky high. It's always improving. So it's it's really good. People are taking it quite seriously and really working hard to get their scores down. There's a lot more competitions. I think the calendar getting quite full. So it's in a good place, I think. I think that's good that there's a lot going on. There's been that Putt 1K which is a different type of competition, I think. And then, as you mentioned, Andrew's World Putting Tour, which is going to be the British Open is going to be part of that in July in our local course at Doris. So that's really exciting.
Next up is Anna Lee. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Anna Lee Lundell, and I live in Gislaved in the south of Sweden. And as I said before, I started to play when I was 10, and that was in 1972. So I started play because my parents and my brother play. And the whole summer, every year, we go to play in different places in Sweden. Yeah, in Sweden, we have a lot of competitions. From April until September, every weekend it's a lot of competitions, and sometimes it's difficult to choose where are you going to go and play. And we had a lot of mini golf clubs, and but it's not so many women. It should be better that we have more women who is playing, but it's difficult to have them on the competitions. But we have one competition every year. We call it Tjejfemman in Sweden. It's about women five. And this is a very big competition for women. This year, we played in Jönköping in the south, and I think it was 55 women at the same time.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yes.
Incredible.
But where are all these people the whole year? They are meeting once a year and have very fun and meet each other, new friends and so on. But then they are gone and come back next year. So I don't know how to fix that.
Are there many women players in the UK?
No, there aren't many. But then again, there aren't many men either. Yeah, I think in the list for the rankings I'm going on, yeah, about 100.
Okay.
I didn't count the women, but I would say I would guess about 10%, but you know, I'd have to check that. But what I would say is, I mean, I did count for the tournament at the last weekend, and it was a high number of women, what, you know, more than we're used to, and it was 25% women. There was like 10 women out of 45.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that was good. And what is happening as well is that the women who do play have been playing quite a while. They're mm-hmm. getting good. They're getting really much. They're getting much more up there. There's more competition among the women, and some of the new women that are coming along are very good as well. They're starting off where I won't say we left off, because we haven't left off. We're still going. But yeah, they're coming in at a high level. And last weekend, for example, Cindy Kukyaka, who has been playing for over 10 years more, not continuously, but on and off, and she came third and in the open competition. And
that's fantastic.
And the winner last year said that he would have come seventh with his score. So, you know, last year she would have won it by a mile. So that's what I mean, that the standard is going up all the time. But the women are closing that gap.
So in the United States, to give you an idea, we have a population of over 300 million here. Mm-hmm. I once played a tournament with 99 competitors. It was a big national event. I was the only female. We don't have female divisions other than, say, the U.S. Open and the Masters, and that's the exception. But in any tournament I play, I'm usually the only female.
Mm.
So we've picked up Olivia, and of course we have Paula, and less than a handful maybe two if you count some of the Northeast ladies.
Yeah.
But from a national standpoint, a handful or two total out of 300 million. And like I said, usually I'm the only female and have been. It's very, very rare for me to see another female competitor. So no women's divisions except for, you know, those two tournaments. But I love Annalise's idea of hosting a women's tournament. And I might work on that here. That needs to happen. That's wonderful. Ruth, you're a role model as well, because you were the first UK female to run a club.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
that's very important.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it will grow and that it will be a success. I'm gonna put a lot of work into it, into making that a success. But I think it's there's a lot of female firsts that I've got, you know, but in a way that's quite sad, isn't it? Because it shows that it is quite slow growing. But it's lovely to have a first, because no one can take that away from you. Hopefully they will follow on, you know. But I'm the first woman to win an open competition.
Applause.
The first woman to, me and Olivia were the first females to win the club championships, being the club championship winning team. Obviously, I was the first British woman, and then I've won another club championship team as well. Won the mixed doubles last year with Steve.
Fantastic!
So I've been on the podium a couple of times as well. Like when Cindy was on the podium at the weekend, it somehow seemed, because it was such a class tournament, really. You know, the scores were really low, and she dug in there. You have to be good to be on the podium. You know
that's that. Fantastic. Yes. Annalie, can you give me a brief summary of your resume? And also something of special importance to you, if there's anything that stands out.
My dream and my mini golf dream was true in 2016 in Finland, when I won the European Championship. And I was so happy about that. But then came another dream and 2019 when Vanette and I play in Sweden in Kungälv, and I also won the World Adventure Mini Golf Masters, and I did it again last year.
So, amazing.
Yes,
first of many, many, many more.
I don't know how to do it, but I did.
You did great.
One very great memories when I was standing by you in 2018, and the national American song we played.
Uh-huh.
And that was great, because in all my life, I've been playing in Europe with the German are very good to play. And if nobody from Sweden wins, it's always German. And the German national hymn, I've heard so many times. And then, I'm going to hear your song from America. And that was great.
Oh.
And the year after, when I won, that was such a great memory too. And one crazy thing, we have only one round to play in the last day, and I had played very good, and I think it was maybe 15 stroke to the second place. So the only thing who can stop me from winning was if I were sick. So when we shall eat the evening before the final round, I've ordered chicken. I always eat chicken. And then I think, oh my God, if the chicken isn't really cooked, maybe I'm going to be sick tomorrow. So I didn't eat anything. That's and all the Swedish team say, what are you doing? I'm not hungry.
That's wonderful.
I have a lot of crazy things. So, but that was also a very big moment when I won this 2019.
Oh, that was amazing. Thank you for sharing that. As for me, quick background, I'm a U.S. ladies national champion, a senior ladies world champion at WAGM. I'm just now a member of the World Mini Golf Federation Women in Sport Committee. So I'm excited to hopefully get some traction there. I started the Mini Golf Tournament Enthusiast Facebook room. It's got almost 500 people from over 30 countries. I run our weekly local tournaments out of High Point, North Carolina. And just now have government approval, have founded a nonprofit organization for the promotion of mini golf in the United States. Mm-hmm. It is the American Mini Golf Partnership. I am super excited about that. It's a true leap of faith, and it will be the first nonprofit about mini golf in our country. So just in the last few weeks, we're fully approved by the government to be a charitable organization. And I'm just proud of representing females here, because like I said, there's so few, and I think it's really important. This is a question that I have for you guys. If you have any funny stories or non-funny, if you tell us a certain thing that's happened recently and your perspective from a female. So say from a female perspective in mini golf, this just happened to me in the last couple of weeks. An older female friend of mine knew I was going to be at the course where our local tournaments are. And she came out to visit me. And the first thing she said to me was, "Do you know all these men?" And it just struck me as funny, but I forget how things look to the outside world. And I thought about how intimidating it would be to be a new female player. Because I've been around all these guys for a decade and a half, and always been around guys since I was a child. I was a tomboy growing up, and I always wanted to play the boys' sports. I mean, I never looked like a ballerina. I looked like a rugby player. So I was out there playing, all the sports with the guys, and just grew up, being competitive and playing. And I was large enough to handle myself, So, but I don't think about how it looks from a non-female perspective. And a lot of times I don't even think, almost never do I even think about being a female out there. I'm just me. Mm-hmm. But when somebody comes in and sees it from a different perspective, it shines a light on how it is not being somebody that grew up in it. Mm-hmm. I'm just one of the guys. All the guys know I'm one of the guys. Mm-hmm. But I forget about it till something like that happens. Mm-hmm. So that's one example. That's just in the last couple of weeks. So if you have a story or something positive or negative that's mm-hmm. happened that you can think of and want to share, please do.
I think as talking about the female perspective and how people see it, I think this kind of an assumption of doing you down almost, and you don't want to, like somebody said to me that I didn't know me, but it was in my playing group quite recently, you've done this before.
That's the perfect example.
Yeah, I said no, it's just beginner's luck. No, I think people they see you through that filter, don't they? Of like you don't know what you're doing. Anyway, you get it. Yeah.
That is absolutely perfect example. Perfect example. Yes.
Yeah. I just went beginner's luck. Yeah. British champion, 10 times British women's champion. It played over 100 tournaments, won 2 open tournaments. Yeah. Just beginner's luck, mate.
Oh, I was paired with somebody one time, and I was in the lead of a tournament, of the same tournament, and during the round, the player, this goes back 8 or 9 years, the player looked at me and he said, you know, you'd make a good scorekeeper, because we had a person that would stand registering the scores at the scoreboard. That didn't sit well with me at all.
No.
And I'm like, this guy's not going to beat me today or ever if I can help it. But I was steaming. But that is one example of, this happened to me last year. I played a course I hadn't been at. It was the U.S. Open, and my playing partner was somebody I'd never met before. And he said, now you're not going to beat up on me today, are you? Or don't beat me too bad, or something like that. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that. And I'm like, no, I just spent 3 days, 10 hours a day practicing so I could play poorly so you could beat me, you know. I just despise when somebody tells me that, you know, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to be beaten by a woman.
I should have thought the balance, you know, that the people that have been playing a long time, or even new people coming in, they do have the respect. You know, there's a lot of men that do have the respect for the women's game now, I think, and hopefully that will grow. You know, that they're trying to promote that. You know, we need the men to try and promote the women's game as well as the women, for that not to become part of the competition. Sorry, Annalise.
I played. Okay, there is some ladies, some women who play in Sweden. Maybe it's 15 in one competition, but I have played mostly with men in teams with men. In my club, I'm the only woman who plays in the team for our club. And I have always thought that if I play with men's and train and so on, I will be a better player, because I want to win. Many women are playing just for fun, and that's great too. But if you want to win, you must be a better player. And for many, many years ago, we have one class, one group, I don't know how to say, group? Or for the best player. And this was for both women and men. And once upon a time, I stand there, and this group is always the last who are going to play the competition. And then came a friend, and he said, you don't play today. Yes, I'm going to play. What? All the women's are over there. Yes, but I'm not playing with the women's. I play in the best class because I want to be better. What? And this is many times I had this question, and I always say, for me, it's more fun to maybe came at a five place in the men's competition. True. Instead of winning the woman with the 10 stroke or something. Mm. And I've always been like that. And now I'm the only woman in our team, and we play in the our team isn't in the highest, but next. And I think it's only one woman and me who are playing there. Yeah. So I think it's fun. And
And bravo. But you know, it takes some internal strength to say, I want to get better. Mm. I'm going to play with the better people, even if my position isn't higher. And that's how you get better. You get better by playing with better people.
Yes.
You get better by learning from the people that know how to play the game the best. Mm. And bravo for you doing that. And I love that when they're like, well, you should be over there with the ladies. And you're like, no, I'm staying here. and that's fantastic. And that's also you're being a huge role model for maybe some of the newer, younger players. If hopefully there's some lady players coming in, and they'll be, well, if Annalise over there, I want to be like her. Mm-hmm. I want to play the open division and I want to get better. So yeah. I think that's really important. And bravo. Bravo. Get applause.
And at the same time, I've got many friends who just want to play for fun. They don't want to lay a lot of time, a lot of hours to train. Sure. They are playing for fun. And okay, that's it. But we need both.
I agree. And if you have a women's tournament or women's league that introduces that, and they want to play for fun, at least they're out there playing, and maybe you'll draw even just one or two that eventually want to get better and play better. But that's a great gateway into the sport for women. Here, there's no women. Mm. And which brings me to another point. And this question will be for everyone also. You know, how do we draw more women into the sport? Mm-hmm. And I'll start with this one. I think it's a catch 22 where I am, because there aren't women playing in most tournaments. I think in order to get women, you have to have women so they're comfortable. Just like that outside perspective, if they don't see any women, or maybe it's just me out of normally on a big event weekend, other than Masters or US Open, there could be 50, 60 players. I'll be the only woman. Occasionally there might be one other random, but it's, I think you have to have women out there to make women feel comfortable. I mean, I think that's the number one easiest answer is to get more women. So another thing too, and there's some good and bad, you know, like with everything, World Adventure Golf Masters, WAGM, added a mixed pairs division. And the point of that is, I think, to get more women playing, which is a fantastic idea. So in our country, I think it was the year of Sweden, arbitrarily, they were going to put me and Robin on the team. And there was a lot of complaints about, you know, how they arbitrarily picked a team ahead of time and stuff. So after that, it got changed. The head of the tournaments was tired of hearing about that. So competition to get on the U.S. national team is, you know, by your finish in the Masters. So if no women play well enough to finish, there'll be no women representation. So fortunately, last year I played very well and it wasn't an issue, but it easily could be. So you know, if you want women to play and you want to grow the sport, you have to make a place for women. I don't know in this case if it's our country or WAGM. I don't know what's going on. But if you have a limited number of people that can play an event and you're going to put a woman in there, regardless of her ability, that's great. On one hand, you're getting women represented, but on the other hand, you're knocking out somebody else that played better. I mean, I have a very, very close friend that told me, I think it should be by your score no matter what. And if no women make it, that's just too bad. And that's a close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So this in my country has set up either one. I mean, I played well, but I could have a bad tournament. I had a bad knee last year. I barely made it through the event, but I had to play to qualify for the U.S. team. So, you know, the question is, do you want more women players? This set up for more women to play, but it created an environment where there was resentment and complaints. So, you know, maybe there could be exemptions for women that would not take the place of somebody else that had really earned the spot. And I think that's a big problem probably in some of these areas. I don't know if it is in other countries, but like Anna Lee plays great. It's not an issue for her to make the team because she plays great. But, you know, if we pretend that Anna Lee was a C or D grade player, do you put her on the team? I mean, she's an A++, but that's the question, you know. She is like a triple star, you know. So fortunately, it's not an issue for that. But when people say we want more women to play, I say, what are you doing to guarantee that we have a place here? And that would be my response. So that's just an example from my country where, you know, very few women.
For a very long time, we have a team competition for women. And I think it was maybe 8 teams for women for the club. And that was a lot of women playing right now. It was maybe 30 years ago. And then we have our own team competition. We met 3 times a year in the summer or so on. But now it's not every woman can play in the club team, but we have no team for women. But we have talked about maybe we can start it, but now it's a lot of good players who are women, they are in the same club. So it's not only good to be in the same club, everyone. It's better to maybe they are in different clubs, so they maybe can talk to other girls and be with them.
Great.
But I can tell something more about this Women 5 competition. It's always in the spring. We have this. And in October, we have the Mixed Pairs Swedish Championship. And we play always at the same course as the Women 5 play. So we hope that a lot of women want to play once again with a man and play the mixed pair competition. And it's 1 year, it's many people, another year, not so many. So it's different, but I think it's a good way to get them play more. And this women competition has been in, I think it was 28 years we have this competition.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and when I made it, because it was my it was my competition. I didn't thought that it would be survive so long time.
That's incredible.
28, yeah.
Congratulations.
And new players can play and win matches.
Sure.
Because this competition is it's only three person in a team.
Uh-huh.
If three person play good, the other two can play bad and win. So
I like that.
Yeah.
I wish we had enough women players here to even have a mixed pairs, but that's something we might could figure out maybe at the Masters. Mm-hmm. I'll work on that. I'll work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth, have you got any observations?
Yeah, I think it's a kind of developmental thing because in this country, it's a very small sport for, as I said, for men and women. So it's encouraging both. You know, in the scheme of things, you know, if you look at it from a long way away, it doesn't really figure that there's so fewer women than men because there's so few men as well. So it's about like people knowing that you can play mini golf competitively. And I think it's very contradictory in a way because there's two strands, isn't there? You want to play it competitively and like you're very competitive, you want to win. And then, but I think like to encourage women, and this is a generalization, I know there are competitive women, but they may be, and I've spoke to the women who do play and about how they feel as well and why they think there's not so many women. And they said the women don't have confidence, they don't like the competition, they think they're not good enough. Oh, yeah. It's my husband that's the golfer, it's not me. And so they might feel, I think as a developmental stage really, you know, to have the women separately and to play more for a game, for fun, get them so that there's not that pressure. And
right.
I think from observing over the women over the years, you know, I think the women that are now competitive, like myself, I've only got really competitive in the last few years. I played to relax, not to compete. I played because I liked it. I liked that feeling of getting the ace. And I think a lot of women like that. They're just enjoying it. And you're enjoying it. You like the game. And you like playing well. But you want to have the competition to gauge yourself. But you're not really competitive. You're not expecting to win. And I think there's maybe a lot of women like that. And then you'd play for a while. And then you think, it's actually quite nice if you win and if you beat people. I'm getting more onto that aspect of it now.
That's a good idea.
With the disappointment when you come, you know, you lose five out of your seven matches on Saturday. So, you know, that's what you put yourself in for. And that, I think, is quite hard for women. And it's kind of, you know, you could call it character building. And I think that's coming in at a young age is good, you know, like you've got the whole societal cultural thing of are you encouraging girls to do competitive sports, you know, and the stereotype. And I think that is happening, that is changing now for the younger generation, that, you know, girls can see that they can do it, you know, why not? Whereas before it was like boys are going to compete and the girls are going to play. But I don't think that's so prevalent now. So that's a great thing. And then I still have my doubts about it. I mean, do we want to be like, I'm going to beat you? It's like, is that a good thing for anybody?
Well, me and Annalise say yes.
I'm reading about women in sport. It's about professional sport where people are earning their living, there's sponsors, there's advertising, there's all those pressures. And, you know, that's not a world that mini golf in this country is in at the moment. So
no.
If we want to encourage the women in, we're at a different stage. And I think the way to do it is for get families, to get women playing together, to have women's separate competitions. But I do agree that, you know, like we want to be playing all together eventually, because there is no reason why the women can't be on an equal level with the men. But there is a reason. I mean, there's lots of reasons. There's cultural reasons, there's social reasons, there's women
don't feel
that it's a worthy thing for them to go off and play mini golf at the weekend. Why, you know, men, they just will do it. You know, I enjoy it, so I'm going. Women are like, well, it's not really, that's not a worthwhile thing to be doing. I need to be taking the children. I need to, you know, they need. So I think like encouraging families to come with children, women will come then, because that's how, you know, I'll be like, that's how I started. That's how a lot of other women have, because they could take the children. It's a family yeah. thing. So they feel it's worthwhile. But I wouldn't have left my children to go on my own to play mini golf, mm-hmm. whereas men will. They will. That's a cultural mm-hmm. thing. You get that feeling when the men's and women's game are separated, like I've experienced in Europe, and you're on different courses. And Steve, my partner, even said that, because he was coach and he would come on the women's side and all the women are playing, and then he would go on the men's side as the coach, and he said it's a completely different game. And he was like desperate to get back to the women's game because it was so much more. very, very good players, getting, you know, really low scores, very competitive, all very supportive, very calm, very cheerful, you know, helping, you know, just wanting everyone to play well. Where he said the men, no, he said, I don't want to go over that side of the field.
But I think it's so different when you play in Europe, European Championship. It's not the same when you play Wagner. It's a whole family.
That's different. Yes.
Everybody. Yeah. And mm-hmm. when you play in Europe, here's the Swede and the German, and it's not the same. So
it's very adversarial. Much more so than it's more us against them than everybody.
We sit together and talk, and we sit there in a bar at 330.
Yeah, everybody
and have fun at evenings
and have fun. And that's like when somebody says to me, "What was Finland like?" To me, I thought of all of us hanging out in the hotel, having drinks or socializing together. That's the joy of it. And that's what I'm so desperate to get back to in Austria, is the people that I love. I want to see them again, you know,
and
the connections we've made. You know, I'm not thinking about, I've got to go and win a medal. I've got to break par. You know, for me, just even being able to play would be an incredible accomplishment, mm-hmm. just from a physical standpoint. But, you know, it's the people that I love that keep me wanting to play. And I think here, a side observation, as why, if somebody says, you know, why do we need to have women in the sport, other than like, okay, we're doing this all inclusively, here in our country, and I think Annalie touched on it about older, most of our tournament players are 50 years and older. And I think this is a general thing across the world, is we're not getting enough kids involved in this sport. And if you don't have kids playing, your sport's going to die.
How many players who are playing the Swedish Championship in the older championship, it's about maybe 40 women. Mm-hmm. And in the Swedish Championship for younger people, it's maybe 10. So everybody who is in the old girls and so, they are playing both for fun and for meeting people and also for win.
Yep.
But the younger is, I think, it's not so for meeting and for the social. Mm-hmm. So it's different way to think. And I was thinking about another. In Sweden, we have 4 different courses. We have a field, we have a concrete, and Eternite. And now more and more people are playing adventure golf.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good way to have more players, both women and men, because mm-hmm. it's so easy to play. You need yeah. one ball, mm-hmm. and you can just play with the players who had played in 20 years. You can beat them because yep. it's only one ball. And the other courses are so different. You need a lot of balls. You must have them warm, have them cold. It must be perfect. It must jump 5 centimeters. So I think the adventure golf is explosion in Sweden right now.
Yep.
And I think it's good for women especially.
Yeah. Yep. Because of the family element as well, bringing the children yeah. in. And when you look at the good players in this country, a lot of them did start as children. And Olivia is a great example, isn't she, of, you know, yeah. playing since she was 3 or something.
You know, if you want to grow this sport, we've got to get kids.
Yeah, you do.
And in order to get the kids, you have to have the moms involved.
Yeah.
And that's where putting a focus on women.
Yeah.
If you get the women involved,
yeah, it's for the
and
future.
Then they'll bring the kids. They've got to feel comfortable bringing the kids to the course.
Yeah.
And or you know, hopefully we would get them playing, but you've got to, you know, women are the key to keeping this sport alive, even though men don't realize it, because they're the ones usually transporting the kids. And if they're not comfortable with kids playing, they're not going to be there. They're going to take them to another sport or take them elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's another reason that we really need to promote women. Yeah. And
I mean, in the, you know, the Gemini Club, where we're having our first competition, I want to have a juniors prize. I'm having equal prizes for the men and the women, top 3 men, top 3 women, same money for the prizes.
Great.
The overall winner will get extra, whether that's a man or a woman. So I think that's just me doing my little bit to promote the women in the game by offering the same prizes, you know, for the top men and top women. And again, it's like an intermediate step. We have to acknowledge there is a gender gap at the moment in mini golf sport, as there is in, you know, in the rest of the world, you know, in in employment, in, you know, in terms of women's roles and men's roles, we're not there yet. So we have to do the intermediate steps, I think.
Ruth, you're a role model. Your tenacity and bringing, you know, and showing that you can run a club and be successful and be tenacious. So thank you for all you've done for the sport. And Anna Lee, you know, obviously one of the best players in the world. And, you know,
you too.
I've been lucky. I've played well in the big tournaments, but I'm very erratic. People ask me how my game is, and I always say it's like Chinese food, sweet and sour. Thank you, Anna Lee and Ruth, for such a fantastic discussion. I've enjoyed it. I hope you guys have, the listeners out there. We'll say goodbye. It was such a pleasure to meet you, Ruth, and Anna Lee, a pleasure as always. And thank you, the audience, for tuning in. And we hope to see you soon on another 54 Problems podcast. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Annette, for asking me to be here. So it was a real pleasure, and I have a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
It was lovely to meet you both. Thank you very much for inviting me on, and thank you for doing that episode about women in mini golf.